Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour. You've got Jonna Spilbor, you've got Carol Pesci, you've got a Frankenfella, and it's time now to get to another show, another installment of our Happy Hour here. And we have a very cool guest who is coming at us about addiction from a slightly different perspective and offering up some more. Is that correct, Carol?
Yes. So we're going to, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. We'll confirm this when we speak to him shortly. Dr. Adi Jaffe. He is the author of a best-selling book, The Abstinence Myth. And now he's here today to talk to us about his brand new book called Unhooked: Free Yourself from Addiction Forever. And the title is really clever. So first of all, if you think, well, I don't have an addiction, we're not just talking about somebody who might have an issue with alcohol. It could be nicotine. It could be social media. It could be gambling. It could be just being on the couch and watching TV all day long, like whatever it is you're doing that is a hooked type behavior that's not serving you. But he comes at this. So he's got a fascinating story of being a drug dealer and a drug addict to now someone who is a licensed psychologist and who really is making a difference helping people. But the title, you might think, Unhooked. Okay, I need to get unhooked from whatever this perceived addiction is or real addiction. That's not the real hook. He comes at it from an angle of something else is hooked in you that you need to unhook, that's causing you to even reach for the cigarette or go gambling or scroll social media or grab another drink. And he also talks about, we think that people who deal with addiction, he's going to undo the labels we put on that, number one, but represent a small portion of people when he actually says it's all of us. We are either 50% people hooked on something or 50% of people who know someone who is. So it is really something that affects all of us. And I am really looking forward to talking to him. His book is really powerful, eye-opening, and encouraging. So looking forward to talking to him in the second segment.
You know who's not going to want us to talk to him? Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos. He's not going to like us talking to him. Or maybe he's not going to like me talking to him. Because that is my addiction.
Oh, Amazon. Oh, and shopping is one of the things he names as something that hooks us.
Okay, yes. I completely forgot about the funny Amazon thing. I'm thinking more of Bezos being in the news lately. I'm like, where the hell is Spilbord going with this? But yes, shopping. You are addicted to shopping. Yes.
If you see my microphone mute while we are talking to the good doctor, that's because I'm sitting here with my hands over my ears going, la, 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 la. Just saying, only you guys will know. We don't have to tell him.
Oh, that's funny.
So does that mean you've thrown the gauntlet now, because now we do have to tell him?
No, we're not going to tell him, but it actually, I'm only half kidding, because I you know, one of the things I wanted to complain about today, and Frankenberry, I don't know.
Note, Carol, she said one of the things.
I know, and it wouldn't be a segment one of this show if there wasn't a Jonna complaint, which is fine, because we get a lot of pleasure out of it.
Right, or possible multiple ones, yes.
I'm glad you do, but this is actually weirdly sort of related, and I was going to come on and complain. So you guys know I do a lot of online shopping, and you know what's been really bad lately is when you're on social media, and I don't know if you go, Carol, you probably do experience this. Frankenberry, I'm not sure you do, because the algorithms, I'm sure, target me because they know how prone I am to just hitting buy, buy, buy. But you know, you get targeted with an ad when you're scrolling social media, and I'll always click on it, and it'll be like, oh, you know, buy this buy this course, for example, or buy this exercise program for just $19.99. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I can get rid of my flab for $19.99. Let me click here. So I'll click it. And then it'll go, oh, but wait, before we let you go, please upgrade to the extra kadunkadunk program for just another one small fee of $34.99 for the rest of your life monthly. And you go, well, I don't know if I really want the extra kadunkadunk, but you know what? I'm vulnerable. Let me hit it. So I hit it. And then it goes, oh, but wait, we know you've paid, but we want you one more time. We would like you to sign up for the triple, quadruple.
With a timer, with an expiration time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you don't do it, the world's going to implode. But now you're like, nope, I got, I'm already got the extra kadunkadunk program. I don't want any more kadunkadunk programs. And as you try to get out of this funnel, you can't get out. It's almost like they force you to spend more money because you get so tired of being like, I just want out. Just give me my kadunkadunk program and let me get on my way. There should be a law against that because you have to really, let me just tell you what it did. Normally, I'm good at finding the little link that says, okay, in big letters, it's get this great deal right now, upgrade right now. And then underneath it in little teeny tiny letters is no, thank you. I'll pass on this wonderful deal forever and probably die because of it. But I'm just going to click here because I don't want to spend any more money. And that's in really super fine print, but I know how to look for it. I know how to get there.
You got a lot of experience.
You do. And I'm sure, John, I'm going to tell you right now, by the way, before I forget, I'm sure the audience is absolutely fascinated with this because you lost 90% of them earlier when you said you clicked on the ad. So this is fascinating for everybody out there because most of us in the real world ignore the ads. We hate the ads. We do everything we can. I hit the little X on every one of the long, tall boxes as often as I possibly can.
A liar.
I am not a liar, as a matter of fact. But anyway, please go on.
So even though I am well adept at finding the fine print that gets me out of the never ending loop of upgrades, I happened upon a thing that I bought just the other day where for the love of God, I could not find the link. Could not find it, but I was going to be darned if I was going to let them win. So I'm like, you know what? If I can't figure out how to get out, I'm just going to X out of this whole thing. And you're probably not even going to get me now as the original customer because you keep telling me I can't leave until I, hit X or Y. So now it's on you. And I get out. I just X it out. I'm like, I don't need your stupid program. I don't need to lose any weight. I'm perfect. Well, wouldn't you know? They got me anyway. They were lying the whole time that I couldn't get out unless I hit this or that. And now I think there ought to be a law.
And they had already processed it.
They already processed it. It was screwing with me. Screwing, I tell you. And you know how there's a law, which I don't even think I love this law, but it recently got enacted that now you can't, if you're using a credit card to pay for something live, it's got to tell you exactly what your processing fee is before you, pay. Yeah. They should have the same thing. They should have an anti-upgrade, like a nuclear option when you're buying something from a social media ad that when you like, I already know, don't upgrade me. Don't even ask me if I want to upgrade. I'm paying for this. Let me out. Like I want door number two. They should have that. And I should probably spearhead that because I would save a lot of money. You know what else happens? Because I do this, right? Like if I buy a program and I'm like, I just want this program, I forget that I bought it. So I pay for it and I never use it. You know, the one that happened to me today? Wall yoga.
Today.
I know.
What was it?
Today, Carol. Yes.
Yeah.
And again, everybody out there in listening land is absolutely fascinated by this. So please continue.
It was wall yoga. And I'm going to say wall yoga. Do I need to spell it for you, Frank and Barry?
No. And I'm not. I'm saying this actually is very, very fascinating because I'm sure, again, most of our audience is saying we've never been down this rabbit hole. This is really interesting stuff.
Wall yoga this morning.
Yes. So go.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I'm going to forget that I bought it. And I'm never going to do a single wall yoga.
That's why
I need one of those things that cancels your subscriptions for you.
They have those now. I think I saw something for an app that will like monitor all of your subscriptions. And
have you guys done it? I'm thinking of doing it. You guys haven't done it?
No,
I don't have that many.
I'm in the same boat with Carol. I don't have as many. It's not necessary for me. And by the way, what is wall yoga? Isn't that just considered leaning?
Yes, Frankenberry. I spent $19.99 plus $8,000 in upgrades to learn how to properly lean against a wall.
That's all I can think of what wall yoga might be.
It's leaning against a wall and looking really cool.
I was just going to say yes. with a cool purpose.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I can't believe, Frankie Bear, you're such a naysayer. Oh, can I tell you something else stupid that I did?
I love when you do stupid things. I also want to know why you're snow toes today. So I don't know if that has to do with this stupid story you're about to tell.
It does. And this so as you guys know, by the time this airs, we have all survived our kind of our first big snowfall of the 2025 season, right? We got some snow last weekend, which was a significant amount, I'd say. And I don't know if you guys, did you guys also get the wind or did you just get the snow?
We don't live in another state. So I think we had pretty much the same weather you had.
I was just going to say, Carol and Jonna, you all live fairly close to each other. I mean, I'm a few hours away now, so maybe there's a slight difference. But I'm north. I'm more north than you all, so it's probably a little bit colder. But there wasn't really a lot of snow. I mean, this isn't like, the days where I could climb a tree when I was 12 years old and jump out of it just into fresh snow and not worry about breaking a bone.
Well, the reason why I asked you about the wind is because for some reason at my house, maybe it's because it's the proximity to the river. Maybe it's because my backyard is a giant sinkhole. I tend to get like this vortex of wind when other people get a moderate or mild wind. So the reason why that's important is because we got about where I am. I got about six, just a little under 6 inches of snow. And I have a side door that goes out just to the side of my house. It's one way in, one way out. And I have to open that door in order to fill the bird feeders, which when the weather is like this, I feel really bad because believe it or not, the birds will try to eat the dirt cat food if there's no bird food. Your bird, yeah. And so the snow had freshly fallen, but because of the wind, there was a little tiny circular area on the deck that had zero snow on it. But it was like not even the size of a manhole cover. For some reason, the wind whipped and got rid of that snow and all the rest of it was covered in snow. So it was weird. So I go to open the door so I could refill the bird feeders and the door is kind of stuck. So now I'm like banging on the door. I finally kick the door and I get the door open. I put the bird seed out. Fine. I come back in. Now, mind you, this is an important part of the story, barefoot. So I had carefully stepped in that one little area where there was no snow or no precipitation whatsoever, leaned over, refilled the bird seed. And now when the door gets stuck, when I tried to open it and it was stuck, when I got it open, I now couldn't get it closed. Because it would not fully close. So I'm like, right. So I'm like, I can't have this door flapping in the breeze. It's 6 degrees outside. So I'm too lazy to go put on a pair of shoes or a coat for that matter. Now picture me kind of pajama-esque, no bra, no shoes, because no one can see me on this side of my house. It's just very hidden, very tucked away. So I step back outside into that little circle of nothingness on the deck where there's no snow. It's a little tiny circle. And I go on the outside and I slam the door closed from the outside to get it to close. This is unbeknownst to me.
Oh, no. You ain't getting it back open.
I ain't getting it back open. So now I'm standing like a moron in this little tiny snowless circle on my side deck.
Braless.
Barefoot, pajama-esque. And the only way out is through the snow on the side of my house, through the snow on the front of my house. Oh, but wait, there's more. I never unlocked the deadbolt from my front door. So I didn't. I had to run all the way back around, and thank the good Lord that I hadn't locked the sliding glass door earlier when I fed the dirt cats, and I was able to march my bare feet through the snow around my whole house and get back in. Thank you.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Absolutely.
Were your clamors armed by any chance? Because I'd love to see that footage.
I will destroy.
Destroy. No, you need to have that put online with Benny Hill music behind it.
And speed it up.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. And speed it up.
Oh, my gosh.
This is how we know the universe has such a sense of humor. 2 minutes before this happened, I said to myself, I wonder what I'm going to talk about this week on Happy Hour. 5 minutes later, I was locked out barefoot in my pajamas, braless in the snow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, that makes me think, and I'll think of one time where I could have also had a video with the Benny Hill music sped up when at the old place, one of the cows got out of their penned area, and just the whole going back and forth about 20 feet to try to get him to go back in the gate was just hilarious.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and I was in like a ratty torn pair of sneakers. I also had pajama pants on. I wasn't wearing a shirt.
Superhero underwear.
Yes, exactly. You know, my Batman underwear. And here I am trying to convince a cow to travel in some cases, 2 more feet. And then he would just look at me and go, nope, and run away. So,
man. Yeah.
That's going to be a memoir title, right? Chasing Cows.
Barefoot and braless, I think.
There you go. Yes.
I think that sounds like a great title.
Yes, indeed. That along with, buy every dessert.
Which was, I got to do that again. Anywho.
Buying every dessert on the menu.
Yeah.
At 11:11.
Yeah. Because I guess I'm hooked on.
Oh, okay. We got you.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, wow. I was too. They can be painful sometimes, these segues. So anyway, tell us about
maybe
we'll
just move
up.
On yeah, quickly remind- from this. Yes. So coming up after the break, we will be speaking with Dr. Adi, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right, Jaffe. He is the author of Unhooked, Free Yourself from Addiction Forever. And you might want to stay tuned because this is something that affects all of us. We're not just talking about somebody who has an issue with alcohol. Could be nicotine, could be gambling, could be shopping, could be social media. And I think all of us are influenced or affected by that. And he also is going to explain to us what the real hook is. It's not whatever it is you think you might be addicted to or someone you care about might be addicted to. He's got a fascinating story, spent time in prison. I'm going to let him tell you when he comes back, but he's really making a difference helping people today and really coming across with an encouraging message if you or someone you know feels like you're hooked.
All right, that sounds good. That is the guest that we have on the way, so please stick around for that. It's Jonas Spielberg, it's Carol Pesci, it's This Frankenfella, and we'll be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, again to Happy Hour. Jonna Spielberg, Carol Pesci, This Frankenfella, and time now in segment number two to get to yet another one of our fantastic guests. And we've already told you in segment one what to expect, but Carol's going to remind you and do the introductions.
Yes, we have with us here today, you're going to want to stick around and listen because it's something that affects all of us, I believe. We have with us Dr. Jaffe. He is the author, best-selling author of The Abstinence Myth. Today he is here to talk to us about his new book, just released, Unhooked, Free Yourself from Addiction Forever. And stick around, because if you think, I don't smoke or I don't drink, it's much more than that. It could be social media. It could be gambling. There's so many other aspects that are hooking us in life. And we're also going to find out what the true hook is. It might not be what you think. But Dr. Jaffe, his work spans career, mental health, addiction, and relationships crisis. He was a lecturer at UCLA psychology department for the better part of a decade until he started, it's an abbreviation for IGNITED, I-G-N-T-D. His passion lies in helping his clients move through shame, discover their deepest sense of purpose and joy, and forge a new path in life that brings them fulfillment and happiness. His views on addiction and his research on the topic have been published in dozens of journals and online publications, and he has appeared on numerous television shows and documentaries discussing current topics in addiction and the problem of addiction as a whole. It's very, very, it's actually encouraging and enlightening. Dr. Jaffe now writes a blog on Psychology Today and several other online and print sources. He's been featured on CNN, The Huffington Post, Bustle, Los Angeles Times, KTLA. And again, he is here to talk to us about his newest book, Unhooked, Free Yourself from Addiction Forever. Dr. Jaffe, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I would like to start, if I can, and the book is brand new, so I imagine a few, if any, of our listeners have yet read it. I have read a decent amount of it. Tell us the backstory, if you will, that how you got to the point of doing what you do and wanting to write this book. What happened? What led you up to this?
Sure. As you pointed out before, Carol, you know, the book really starts out with an explanation of that. And let me just say that at least in my life, that was not the path that everybody would have thought I was taking, you know, in my early teens or beforehand, right? Elementary school, earlier on. I'm a first generation immigrant. I didn't really know how much that meant until my whole family moved to the States when I was 14, right into high school. And, you know, I fell into this period of really substantial social anxiety. It might not sound like that big a deal, but maybe some listeners remember never feeling like you fit in, never feeling like you're enough, always trying to figure out in junior high and high school how to say the right thing, look the right way. That was, my brain was nonstop. And I was an immigrant, so I sat in that little lunch table you may have had in your cafeteria where all the foreign or bused in kids came in from. I felt different. I just felt different. And on a sleepaway camp, I ended up having this kid that I just met and I wanted to look cool in front of hand me a handle of vodka. And really, that was the beginning of my journey. I took down a couple of swigs. I think it was two or three pretty big swigs to kind of show off a little bit, right? But when you're anxious, sometimes you try to go the other way. So I drank it right off the bat. And while it was really disgusting and almost made me want to throw up when I first had it, within 20, 30 minutes, I had this feeling of warmth and my anxiety went away. I didn't know what normal was at the time, but I felt the way I wanted to feel. And, you know, I tell in the book, I fooled around with a girl that night. Like I could talk to girls comfortably. I could fit in with the guys. It was like I found the miracle cure to the problem I didn't know I had. For me, unfortunately, that started a path of another 10, 12 years where I kept looking for things like that to fix the problems I had in my head. That led from alcohol to weed, which literally almost an identical story. A girl I really liked in high school handed me a joint. I was not about to say no to her. And, you know, just cocaine and heavier drugs. And eventually meth was the drug that found me. And there's a lot more in it. And I don't want to ruin the initial part of the story in the book. But let's just put it this way. I went from a relatively well-functioning college kid who was partying to daily heavy meth use. I was selling drugs because I was using so many of them that I had to sell drugs to be able to afford my own drugs. I was carrying a gun. I had a sawed-off shotgun under my car. I was dealing pretty heavily in Los Angeles. And the book opens up with the SWAT team arrest on a Saturday morning that put a pretty harsh stop to all of that.
that made my jaw drop. That was right in the beginning when you explain how deeply affected you were by this and the consequences. Mm. You went to jail, you were arrested multiple times. Yeah. And as awful as that must have been for you and your family during those years of addiction and the arrests and time in jail, Dr. Jaffe, the work you're doing now, it has to be so much more powerful and effective as a result of you having been there yourself.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been doing this now for almost 20 years, and I consider it a blessing every single day that I get to do this. You know, I've already started getting emails from this book with people telling me that it's had an impact for them. I sort of look at it as paying it forward at this point. You said it before, and I just want to make a big point about it. I make a point in the book, and you said this in the intro. Most people like to look at addiction as that thing that happens to those other people over there. But what I've found now 15, 20 years into doing this work is really I see the world almost split up into two. Half of us are the ones that struggle with addictions, and half of us are the people who love somebody who struggle with addiction. Everybody knows somebody if you're not struggling yourself. And as you pointed out, I brought in, you know, technology addiction, porn addiction, which is really more common among men than people recognize. Work addiction, right? A lot of people that I know, I work with high level executives. When things don't go well in life, they bury their head at work. And yeah, I mean, they may make money, they may rise in status, but they leave a, you know, long wreckage behind them, you know, things like destroyed marriages, kids that won't talk to them, their health, you know, heart attacks, strokes. And so I define addiction as any ongoing habitual behavior, call it a compulsive habit, that you've tried to stop before, but you haven't been able to, and has negative consequences on your life. And your life could be your mental well-being, on your relationships, and even on your health.
So this is an interesting point, because when you were talking, this is Jonna, by the way, Dr. Jaffe, I was going to say, what do you say to people who don't even realize that they're quote unquote addicted? And then you just, you defined what you think, what your definition of addiction is. It has to have a negative consequence on your life. And I think sometimes people can have a hard time believing that there is a negative consequence. Like, I jokingly, I'm on here today, is not hooked on shopping at all. I'm hooked on shopping, Dr. Jaffe, but I don't really consider it negative. It's not like I'm highly in debt. I don't have to go to meetings. I mean, yeah, I have to donate clothes probably more often than other people do.
But that's goodwill. You know, you're doing well by others.
Exactly. So I guess not all addictions are created equal. Would you say that's a fair statement, or am I off?
Certainly. Let's, you know, so we can parse this out much in a much more nuanced way. But let's, you know, it's funny. Actually, I was on another podcast when the host wanted to talk specifically about shopping. And I'll say it like this. So I'll answer the first question first. The first question was, how do I talk to people who don't see their behavior as an addiction? So the whole book is called Unhooked. And Carol already referred to this, so I'll just make a point of why it's called Unhooked. People will tell me I'm hooked on shopping, or I'm hooked on porn, I'm hooked on cocaine, I'm hooked on this TV show. The idea we've come to support when we deal with people who struggle with these compulsive habits is that the thing is the addiction. So you're an alcoholic means you have a problem with alcohol. But you don't have a problem with alcohol. Alcohol is actually the solution to the problem you have. And historically, those problems have been there for decades. And so what I talk about is, hey, let's, and this is exactly how I talk to people who don't look at the issue as a problem. I say, well, look, obviously, it looks like when you go shopping sometimes, it's to cover up feelings, right? Like you're really, really anxious or you're stressed out. Going online and shopping feels good. So that's fine. And in your situation, if it literally doesn't lead to problems with money, then I probably wouldn't even classify it as an addiction. But if every time, and I'm just making this up, we didn't talk about this beforehand, just in case anybody is going to start having rumors into this. But let's say every time you have a fight with your partner, you disappear and go shopping online for 2 hours. The real issue is what's going on with your partner, right? What is going on in the relationship? And we need to put our emphasis back on that. I'll give you a story. I tell a story in the book of a woman who came to me for cannabis. A lot of people mistakenly think you can't get addicted to weed. Hopefully it's not a newsflash for most people. There are definitely a lot of people addicted to cannabis. This woman came to me. The reason she came to me, she quit pills. She had quit the harder drugs. She could not stop weed. And we, you know, it was stopping her from doing the work she wanted to do. She wanted to be a teacher, and they tested for drugs, and she couldn't stop cannabis, and cannabis stays around your system for a long time, so she couldn't do her dream job. And it took us about 2-3 months to get to this, but in the end, and I talk about the story in the book, but I don't think I'm going to ruin it for people as they read it. It's still a cool story. In the end, we remembered the first time she got high. And what turned out to happen is she had massive social panic anxiety. Like, I'm talking, so she was on the student government, and she would throw up in the women's, in the girls' bathroom before every assembly just because of her panic. And then one day on the side outside, before she was also on a sports team, she was throwing up on the grass, and one of her old friends that she hadn't talked to in a while said, "Hey, you know, try a little bit of this, and I think it'll help you stop throwing up." It was a joint. And she had heard about weed being bad, but, you know, here she is throwing on the lawn. She tried it. Her nausea went away immediately. She stopped throwing up. And from that day on, before every sports meet and before every assembly, she took a couple of hits of weed. That was in junior high. By the time I met her, she was in her 40s. So she had had about 30 years of smoking weed for her social anxiety. Now, is weed her problem, or is her panic and low feelings of self-worth and fear of embarrassment her problem? I would argue it's the latter.
Definitely.
And which is one of the reasons, and you get into this as well, why many of the programs that are designed to help people who are quote-unquote hooked, addicted, are not nearly as effective as the work you're doing, because they're dealing with the wrong hook, the real cause.
Yes. Now, I do want to qualify this. A lot of people, when they listen to me, they think I'm against traditional recovery, like I'm against AA, or I'm against the traditional systems. I'm probably against the insurance industry complex piece of it. Then there's nothing I can do about that, though. So I'll focus on the parts that I can help. Real work is long term. It takes time, right? And here's the issue. Just because of insurance, because of payments, because of other factors that are more logistics, we send people to this 30 days of rehab. And so you take somebody to 30 days where they sit in a house or go to a facility where there are no drugs, hopefully. There is no alcohol. Nobody's offering them drugs. They go to meetings, let's say, most of the day. Those are mostly AA meetings, for the most part, in the U.S. anyway. But they go to meetings. They talk about stuff. They sleep in a room with other people who are not using. It's a pretty protected environment. And then after 30 days, we send them back home and we expect them to be okay. Now, most of the times, they haven't had a chance. Maybe they found out about their real hooks. Maybe they've had a chance to touch on those. But in reality, as I talk about in the book, this is a lifelong process, and one that I think all of us, if we undergo it, can strive to continue improving generally. The failure rates, I think it's, if I have the statistics right just off the top of my head, about 60% of people get to the end of the 30 days of rehab, 28 to 30 days sober. So that's 60% success rate there, which is not bad. The problem is that within a month, somewhere in the vicinity of 60 more relapse, and single digit percentages make it to a year or 5 years. So, I mean, look, you can just look at this country, right? We lose more and more people to addiction every year. More and more people fall into addiction. We obviously haven't discovered the real method. And I'm not saying mine is a silver bullet by any chance, but I hope it'll serve a real purpose for the people who haven't found traditional recovery working for them.
This is amazing. Dr. Jaffe, sorry, Carol, because I'm, while you're talking, like I work in a field, I'm an attorney, and I have a lot of clients who either are ordered into rehab because, yep, let's say, for example, they get caught drinking, driving multiple times,
sure,
or they'll go voluntarily because they know that there is a problem.
Yeah.
I see very few full success stories beyond the program itself. And now I know why. It's like if you threw me in a closet with no internet and I couldn't shop for 30 days, the first thing I'm going to want to do when I get out of that closet is shop, right? Because I'm not dealing with it. You can take away the substance. 100%. You're not dealing with it. Wow.
100%. And it, unfortunately, it gets even worse, right? So can we talk about, I know you guys like to keep things current, and I'm not going to say this is not going to be maybe light, but I think you'll understand kind of. I'm going to take us on a little tangent. Okay. Everybody's on the Ozempic GLP-1 train right now, right? So now we're in this stage where all of a sudden, like, you don't have to go to the gym, you don't have to work out, you don't have to do anything. If you have a lot of weight to lose, GLP-1 antagonist, and you're good, right? Just put on some Ozempic and you'll lose all the weight. Well, they're finding out that people are also not drinking as much with it, and that there are other impacts for other compulsive behaviors. here's the thing that we also know. So I believe sugar is probably one of our first drugs, you know, real refined sugar. If you think about people in nature, yeah, you can have fruit, you can have vegetables, you got sugar. I mean, think about honey for a second, right? We can just get it out of a jar. Think of how hard you used to have to work if you really wanted to have honey. I don't like honey enough to risk myself being stung all over. So you're getting most of your fruit from most of your sugar from fruit. The moment we started having purified sugar, what happened to people? They started just, you know, adding sugar to any food they could. Sauces all of a sudden had sugars in them, right? We started just making our diet much, much heavier in calories. We know the impact in the U.S., right? Some of the highest obesity rates in the world.
Diabetes,
you know, heart attacks, strokes, all related to heavier caloric intake and a more sedentary life. That's compulsive eating is an addiction, right? It's the people are eating. We all know this. Look, just to be fair, I do it sometimes, right? Like I'm too stressed out at the end of the day, I'll pull out some ice cream. It's not about, are you engaging in behavior that is rewarding, which I think is where the whole dopamine thing took us in the last 15 years. Everybody does that. I don't know what each of you do. I mean, well, I know shopping is one of the issues, but it's not just shopping. Like we go to the movies to change our mood. We go read a book to change our mood. We work out to change our mood. It's okay that we do things to change our moods. The problem is when we start relying on one or two of these things to control how we feel, and we can't function without them because they're like that 5 o'clock drink, right? People hate their job, but they're just waiting for the 5 o'clock drink. The problem is not the drink. The problem is the job.
Dr. Jaffe, this is John again. Now you just reminded me of another question. Is it an addiction? Like what if I shop, for example, hypothetically speaking, when I'm happy, not when I'm upset. What is that? An addiction still if I'm happy and I do it?
So again, really, look, this is a really, really great question. I really want to always go back to the baseline question. Is it causing harm? The last thing on earth I want to try to create with this book is people watching over their shoulder every time they do something a lot. Doing something a lot does not make it an addiction. Doing something a lot at the wrong time, more than you want to, that interferes with your relationship, interferes with your ability to function at your job, interferes with your ability to be a parent to your children, interferes with your ability to support yourself and your family financially. Those things can be addictive and compulsive. But just because you do something and you enjoy it does not make it an addiction.
Dr. Jaffe.
Sorry, Jonna has been absolved. Thank you, Doc.
Fine. We're good. Perfect.
She was like in the courtroom there. Took a couple of different angles to get to the answer.
There you go.
Something else I would also like for you to talk about, because I think it's refreshing and enlightening, is I think one of the downfalls of some of the programs that are intended to help people is the labeling process. Can you talk about that?
100%. So I have a TED talk about that, by the way. And if anybody wants to check that out,
I will look for it.
You can just look my name up. And I have no beard back then. That's how young I was when I gave that talk. But so number one, I'm a huge proponent of getting rid of essentially all mental health labels, if I'm honest. And here's the reason, right? So my background is, I got a PhD in psychology, but my emphasis was behavioral neuroscience. And there's this thing that happens in our brain when we organize things into categories by labels, right? So if I say chair, that's a great shortcut for me not having to say, well, it's a surface you sit on with or without a back, and it has 2 to 3 or 4 legs that hold it up, right? If I had to describe a chair every single time, then it would be a little bit of a pain in the butt. So we use labels as shortcuts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, when I'm trying to describe a chair, if I described a sofa and called it a chair, I missed the mark, right? It's still, by the way, a surface you sit on. It has a back most of the time. It's got some legs, right? It's like a chair, but it's not a chair. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, the problem is we do this with people, and now you take a person who maybe has symptoms of addictive behavior, right? So per the shopping point that we just talked about, right? Like now all of a sudden you say to that person, well, you're a shopping addict, right? So now it's not that you are a normal human being that has a behavior that is compulsive. You are an addict. You're a thing. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Well, now we know this in psychology. I talk about it in that talk, but I'll talk about it here. There's things like the confirmation bias, the Pygmalion effect, expectancy bias. There are mountains. I mean, I'm sitting in a room here, I could fill this room and more maybe with the number of articles that have been written on the fact that once I apply a label to a person, that person walks around and either repeats that label or other people repeat it. It changes their expectation of what is and isn't possible for them. And maybe worse off, it changes everybody else's expectation of who they are and what they're about. So the problem is, and this is the biggest problem to me with labels, we actually literally say this phrase, and I freaking hate it. I mean, if there's something I could change, it would probably be this. We tried, but it's so ingrained. You know that phrase, once an addict, always an addict?
Yes.
By definition, here's what you're telling people. You have a problem that you will never overcome. You will always be this thing. And then we wonder why they have a hard time engaging in helping behavior. Like, wait, but if you already told me that I'm going to be this thing forever, why am I going to spend the rest of my life fighting against it? This is who I am. And my whole question is, why would we put that barrier up? That person already has a struggle, right? They're already struggling with the behavior. Again, I don't even believe their real problem is with alcohol. So why would I call them an alcoholic? An alcoholic suggests that they have a problem with alcohol. That's not what they have. But now I'm putting them in a box. And now they don't only have to fight the addiction, they have to fight the box. And I think that's stupid.
Wow. Wow. Powerful. Dr. Jaffe, this is probably one of the fastest interviews we've ever had. I wish we could talk to you longer. We are wrapping up here with Dr. Is it Adi? Is that how you pronounce your first name? Adi.
Adi, like Dr. a bad grade on a test, which I know nobody here ever got.
Dr. Adi Jaffe. He is the author of Unhooked. Subhead is nice and short, Frankenberry. You're going to like it. Free yourself from addiction.
There you go.
Ever.
Let's do it.
Dr. Jaffe, if people want to work with you, learn more about you, learn from you, follow you, get your book, how do they do that?
So for the book itself, we started up a website called Read Unhooked. Super simple. Go check it out. If you want to see any of my other work, there's a website, adijaffe.com. Go over there. And on adijaffe.com, if you buy the book, there's actually additional resources that I give you for free on my website.
Excellent. I'm going to, when we're done here, go look for your TED Talk video and watch that. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Everything that you do. I mean, just sharing the courage to share your story authentically without shame. I because you're walking the talk, like the message that you want to send to people. I've been there. You've been through the worst of the worst. It's part of your story. It doesn't define you. What you've done with it does define you, and you're helping a lot of people, and I think many more to come. So thank you for all that you're doing and for taking the time to talk with us.
I appreciate you all so much. Thank you for having me.
Yep, Doc, thank you very much for joining us, and we've still got more to come here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and this fella, and we'll be right back, so please stick around for that.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time here to Happy Hour. Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
You did it again, Jonna. Every now and then you walk into, you start with that come hither sound. Hello.
Yeah, it's like sultry.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, like you're wearing a feather boa or something. Hello.
Well, done.
As a matter of fact, I am wearing a feather boa.
Thank God I was wearing mine the other day. I was able to wrap it around my feet in the snow. Dr. Jaffe, very interesting guy. And wow, you know, I liked him. He was very, very straightforward and a different approach and very well done.
Yeah, the book is really fantastic. And again, the key point I want to say again, we think, and he has a graphic in his book. He shows a big circle, what our belief about addiction, and then a really small circle inside of it saying that of the whole world is a big circle. The people affected by addiction are the small circle. And then you turn the page and it's a whole big circle divided right down the half. And it's like 50% of us are affected by some sort of addiction. And 50% of us know someone or care about someone who is. So it's really a topic that affects all of us. But he's very encouraging about it, about removing the labels. You are not the addiction. The alcohol, the nicotine, the shopping, the gambling, whatever, that's not your issue. It's the hook. Something hooked you before that. That if you unhook that, that's where the real help comes in. And that's the work that he does. And that's what his book takes you step by step to uncover, identify what those hooks, the real hooks are, and address those. And then the addiction becomes much easier to address. It's really phenomenal. He's brilliant.
It makes total sense. And it also is making me a little concerned because I've never gone to an AA meeting, but like when you, and maybe this is a wrong depiction of it, like when you watch a movie and somebody is quote unquote an alcoholic.
Yep. My name is so-and-so. You can't go through the program without doing that.
Without saying that you're an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's saying that's not the best of, or he's got a different approach. That you're not the alcoholic, you are whatever hooked you, and alcohol is your solution. And I'm putting that in air quotes.
Right. But that's the word he used, right? You turned to that to help yourself from something else.
Right.
That was your solution. Now, it, over the long term, it has had negative impacts on your life. And that's what defines an addiction to him. It's not just something you do compulsively or repeatedly, but something that has a negative impact. But that's what you turned to help yourself. So dig back a little further, a little deeper. What is it that makes you reach for that and do that? And it could be even social media scrolling, right? Like uncontrollable. You're doing it for a reason. So uncover that reason, address that reason, and you'll have much better success rates.
It makes total sense.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, we were talking with Dr. Adi Jaffe, and he's the author of the new book, Unhooked, Free Yourself from Addiction Forever. Really, really enlightening.
And I'm just going to say this because I am the superficial one of the group, but he is also easy on the eyes, doctor.
Easy on the eyes, and he's got a good radio voice.
You go to his website, very, very easy on the eyes. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go, people. Don't pay any attention to his message. Just go to his website and ogle his pictures. There you go. Dr. Jaffe, we apologize for the Jonna. And you know what, Jonna, as he said, you know, he feels the work he's doing. He's paying it forward a little bit, you know, to where he's been in his past. And you're doing the same when you, you know, take all your clothes to Goodwill. You're paying it forward as well. So good for you.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. So to Dr. Jaffe for joining us today, and for Jonna Spilbore and for Carol Pesci, I am that Franken guy, and we'll be back again next week. Right here, same time. Join us then. Thanks.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.